The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning for those of you just joining us now in the 8 o'clock hour. And it's Tuesday, March 14th, 2023. Dave Krieger with you here on the Power Hour. And of course, we reached out and managed to touch Marjorie Wildcraft, who is with us once again. She is the female leader of the Survival and Preparedness Movement, founding the GROW Network in 2009. And we have PowerHourFood.com. And it is amazing. If you have never attended one of her online webinars, well, maybe now's the time. Marjorie, welcome back to the show.
Dave, thank you again for having me on. Oh my God, it's happening. Oh my gosh, is it happening?
Yeah, the proverbial caca is hitting the fan all over the place, is it not?
Exactly. It's fascinating. I mean, you know, you and I and almost everybody listening, we've all known this was going to happen. And then there's a saying that the map is not the territory. And we're in it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and since I talked to you last, I increased my flock to 9. And and now I've got 3 dozen eggs sitting. 2 dozen of them are on the counter. And the other dozen are in the fridge, and I'm now rotating and using them for barter with my neighbor to do some landscaping work in the place. So,
By the way, Dave, you know, you don't need to put eggs in the fridge, by the way.
I knew that. So no, I know that, you know, once you do it, it shortens their lifespan.
Yeah. Also, you don't really need to wash them or clean them that much. They have a protective it's almost invisible, but, and you know, you definitely want to knock off the chunks of feces or stuff that gets on there sometimes. But yeah, if you don't wash them and you just keep them in a cool, dark, dry place, they'll be fine for a long time. In fact, I was on a trip to Mexico and Colombia recently, and I have to show this to you. I go into grocery stores and snap pictures. Like, they don't refrigerate their eggs at all. They're just on the shelves where all the cans and bottles and bags of stuff are. So,
wow. time-wise, I mean, can you leave these eggs out on the shelf for like 3 weeks?
Yeah, you can, actually. And I honestly, when they start getting a little old is when I like to hard boil them. And you know, the biggest pain when you're hard boiled eggs is shelling them, right? And it turns out if the eggs are, and then of course you've got to have hard boiled eggs. Cause I mean, what are you going to take to, you know, the church potluck or the family potluck, right? Hard deviled eggs, right? So, and when they are a little bit older like that, they do shell so much easier, than somewhat fresh ones. So,
interesting.
Yeah, but they're just fine. We recently had a whole blog post on and a whole discussion at the GROW Network on ways to preserve eggs. So there's a lot you can do. But every time I look here and everything is refrigerated, I'm like, dang, they're just shortening the life on those bad boys.
I'm proud
of you. Congratulations. Yeah.
Yeah, see, we're so used to going to the grocery store, and where do they keep the eggs? In the refrigerated section. And they're all commercially produced, and God only knows what kind of, you know, artificial stuff they've given them in the grow process. You know, because they want to make them lay more eggs. So they give them hormones.
Exactly.
You don't know what you're getting. That's why I like farm fresh eggs. Ain't nothing like them. So if you are not, if you're not able to have layers in your backyard, then find a source for farm fresh eggs. Don't buy them in the grocery store. We got to stop. If you want to stop rising egg prices, start getting your stuff fresh from the backyard producers and not from the grocery store. Because when they're not selling eggs and the eggs just sit there, all of a sudden they're getting a message from the consumer. And see, this is part of our problem with the banks, and they're starting to fail. And we all want to leave our money in the big banks because we think that bigger is better. We've always thought that, and that they're, you know, safer, and that, oh, well, don't worry, one of these people will buy Silicon Valley Bank. You know, they'll have another fire sale like they did in 2008. And then what happened? What happened to the middle class? What happened to all those homeowners? 10.2 million people lost their homes all during that process, during that cycle from 2009 to 2016. And if we didn't wake up then, we need to wake up now. And this is one of the reasons why fighting the system with growing your own groceries is one way to fight back. And so now we have a free webinar out that you can register for at powerhourfood.com. And Marjorie, if you could kind of elaborate a little bit, what are you going to learn when you get on that webinar?
Yeah, well, Dave, you know, I've been working for years on, I know people aren't going to grow food until there's a crisis, right? So I've been trying to figure out.
That's bad.
How are you going to take somebody who has no experience, maybe they're older or they're out of shape, and how do you get them producing a lot of food really, really quickly in a very short period of time? And that's what the webinar basically is. And through that webinar, we'll go into a three-part system that will get you producing half of your own food very, very quickly. And then after that, there's just the whole world, you know, the world opens up to you. But getting at least half is huge. And that gets you to a huge chunk of sustainability, of self-reliance, you know, ability to produce, and security, honestly, security. So where the banking thing is going now, it's absolutely clear they're taking the hyperinflation and currency collapse route. I don't think they're going to let the banks fail. What they're just going to do is destroy the currency through hyperinflation. So, you know, Yellen was saying, oh, this is not going to cost the taxpayer a penny. Like, of course it is. You're totally debasing our currency. It's the, you know, it's the hyperinflation tax, right? So this is coming. It's coming. What I envision happening, because this banking crisis is way bigger, you know, it really is. The whole thing is teetering and collapsing. It's huge. And even in 2008, we were only hours away from the entire banking system collapsing at that point in time. But so this is happening. I think that here in about a month, maybe 2 months, it's going to become abundantly average to the average person who's like totally asleep right now. That, look, food prices are going up, and I think it'll be the food that wakes them up first, and that they're never coming down again. And what you'll start to see is panic buying, and people will start going, oh, my God. And then it becomes a frenzy. Prices go up. And then you don't want to be caught up in that. You want to do this now.
Oh, no. We got to go buy toilet paper quick. Load up the shopping cart. Here, why don't you use my flatbed?
God. Hey, right?
I mean, you remember that. You remember when all of a sudden COVID, oh, you got to stay locked down. Well, we need something. We need ass wipe. How are we going to get that? Let's go to the grocery store. And then you get in a fight with the guy next door because you've got a complete grocery cart loaded. I remember watching this because I had media credentials and I could go anywhere and cover anything because I had DHS paperwork with me at all times. And it's hysterical because these people are going out and they're loading up on shopping carts with supplies. And you're right about panic buying. When that starts, people get violent in the stores. It's crazy. And I've seen people fight over a parking space and almost take to blows. It's just insane. Bill in Illinois, you're on the phone with Marjorie Wildcraft. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a banking comment. When Obama was president, another thing he did is raise the FDIC insurance from $100,000 a year to $1 million a year in these banks. A lot of small banks had a hard time with that. So I wanted to, you know, mention that and see what your guest has to say about that.
Well, how is it, Bill? I get mentioning on the news here about 250,000, because everybody's been saying 250,000 in the media. Where do you get the million-dollar figure from, and where did that come from?
Well, it was one of the ladies at one of the banks that I dealt with, she was the head teller. I believe that's the figure she told me.
Interesting,
but
because
now this is going back some years. I could be wrong, yeah, but I don't think I am. I think that's what she told me.
The FDIC does not have that much money, Bill. I mean, they could literally pay you a dollar a year until your losses are all paid off, unless there's a fire sale. And you know when there's a fire sale and somebody's buying out a defunct bank that all of the people that have savings and stuff in there are going to take it on the chin. And the thing is that a lot of people misinterpreted the Great Depression. And during the Great Depression, all the banks closed. That's what they taught us in school, and that's not true. There were banks in Texas, as a matter of fact. San Marcos Bank was still open during the Depression. Many banks were still open during the Depression. They survived the run. Yeah, they closed. They had a banking holiday, and they opened right back up again, but we never heard that. And see, this is the thing. Like Marjorie was saying, when panic buying starts, and and here again, Bill, we're talking about the idea of them being able to protect what? Fiat currency that you take out of the bank and it says Federal Reserve note on it and it's nothing but fake money. And the only thing that keeps it fantasy from reality is the will of we the people to allow that to be a medium of exchange. That's it. Other than that, that's one of the reasons why we have Marjorie on the show. And I appreciate you chiming in on that. As far as gardening, we are talking about learning skills you don't have. This is why the Grow Network is out there. This has been going on since 2009. And, of course, now, Marjorie, are you living off-grid?
Not at the moment, no, but I do, you know, grow or wildcraft. And even though I do have full-on electricity, I also actually operate on my solar system as much as possible. I live in Puerto Rico, so, you know, honestly, the grid here is so unreliable. I think it's awesome. I mean, you know, we certainly complain about it, but I think it's awesome because it really forces people to be prepared. And the golden rule of prepping is use your preps, right? Get familiar with your equipment. Use it ahead of time. You know what your procedures are. And so, honestly, here, switching to, there's no electricity is almost a seamless thing. So, yeah, you know, I live this way. I grow or wildcraft most of my own food, and the rest that I can, I get from the farmer's market. And then, you know, I do resort to the grocery store for toilet paper.
We had to bring that up again. Yeah, all right.
and corn chips, right? And corn chips. So a chocolate. Actually, chocolate grows here, too, which is one of the reasons. But, you know, really in terms of the herbal medicines and taking care of myself and very rarely ever going to the medical system for anything, you know, I live this lifestyle. And that's what I've been encouraging for years. And it's like, you know what? People are afraid of what's happening. They're afraid, oh, my God, this is going to change. And it is going to change. And I want to let you know, though, that this is such a better lifestyle. When you are more self-reliant, you have more confidence. You know, you walk with more confidence. And, you know, Dave, you know, you can walk right by that egg session in the grocery store and just, like, and stick your nose up in the air because, we have a much more free. We have real freedom, real freedom. Like what this country is founded upon is freedom of being able to do what you can. There's nothing like being hungry. I mean, what's that saying? You control the food and you control the country.
That's right.
So, you know, yeah.
So the thing is, though, Marjorie, Puerto Rico. I mean, come on. How long is the growing season in Puerto Rico, really?
Yeah, right. That's one of the reasons I'm here. The rainy season is a little challenging. You're kind of like, let's skip that. We're gonna not do that. But you still can grow a ton of things. So actually,
a greenhouse, though, can't you?
Actually, that's true. You know, I was just on another show the other day, and the guy was like, "I live up here, and I need a greenhouse." I said, "Look, everybody needs a greenhouse everywhere." I was in Costa Rica. They have greenhouses there. It's to keep the rain off. I was in Cuba. They have greenhouses there. It's to keep the insects out. You know, I mean, everybody needs a greenhouse for one reason or another. So it's a super useful building to have. But especially up north where you need it to extend your growing season or to have greens, you know, throughout fresh food throughout the winter.
Yeah, it is amazing. And I have one. In fact, I have another one sitting in the case that I need to build that I was actually going to do an herb, all my herb gardening in, because that actually has the plastic sides and the metal door with the heavy duty plastic siding in it that keeps it's easier to control the temperature in a 6x8 than it is a 10x20, I've noticed. But at least the 10x20, which I have the plastic kind of with the green crisscross squares in it, and it has the sides that roll up so I can allow for, you know, if it gets too hot in there, I can open up the sides and allow for draft. And I've got 6 raised beds in there that is 3x6, 6 of those raised beds that are about a foot deep. And they're doing very well. The rosemary is doing incredibly well. And we've got elephant ears growing in there. I mean, it's a great way to start and restart, because we bought some elephant ears from a lady who was moving, and we get them home and all of a sudden the bloody things start dying and we're like, oh no. So we plant them in the greenhouse and all of a sudden they're like, wow. And I mean, they're taking off like crazy. So it is amazing, that, you know, what greenhouses can do for you. And so this is the thing, becoming a homesteader and an herbalist and having, you know, here's something we're always torn about. Because there are a lot of people that live in the cities and they want to move to the country. In fact, we have white flight is still ongoing. And I hate to use the term because then people call you racist. But here's the thing. People are moving to the country for a reason, because it is actually cheaper to live in the country. You learn to become more self-reliant. I think that's half of it. Homesteading. I've got this book on the shelf. Don't Get Caught with Your Pantry Down. Ever heard of that one?
Heard that one. That's great.
Yeah. And, then I got another one about how to homestead on 5 acres. Now, you know, there's a rule of thumb here. And one, you gotta find unrestricted acreage, and it's getting harder and harder to find these days because your jurisdictions like to reach out and rule over you. You have more control over it. I don't know about Puerto Rico, but I'm sure that there's a lot more unrestricted plots of land there than there are here. But the thing is that being a homesteader means being able to get out and diversify. Does it not?
It does. And Dave, just for people who don't have that much yard, the system that's in the webinar, I can show you how to produce half of your own food in the size of 3 parking spots. So a very small backyard area. And yeah, I think that book is 5 acres and self-reliance. It's a fantastic book. You really don't need that much land. Actually, I used to actively work 2 acres, and I'm going to tell you, I was buff. 2 acres is a lot of work. So, you know, really, you know, starting small. And I love what you're talking about, some raised beds in a greenhouse. Like, that's a really good beginning where you're not overwhelming yourself with, you know, trying to get the tractor out and doing it. I also think that what we're going to see as we get into hyperinflation, and we've seen it everywhere else, you know, in Weimar Germany and then also in some of the South American countries, is, you know, the government just sort of implodes, because all the government employees, when you work, you know, your monthly salary only buys you, you know, a day's worth of food, or there's no sense in going to work anymore. They just walk off the job. And you know, as the price of food goes up, all those homeowner rules and association stuff is just gonna drop. People need to do what they need to do.
Yeah, that's a sad thing. How many, Marjorie, just you hit HOAs. This is something that has always gotten up my craw, because every time that I go, if I'm looking for land or looking for a piece of property, and I go on like realtor.com, I always go to the HOA section, no HOA, click off on that check mark. I don't want any HOA involved at all, because they're all in your face telling you, you can't do this and you can't do that. And it's like, what happens when we hit this food crunch and everybody has to have a garden, a victory garden? They have to have something to survive. And here you got the HOA coming around going, you can't do that. It's just, well, you're going to be starving too, and it's not going to make any sense. And then all the people that are inside the homeowners association that are involved in it, all the landowners that are involved in it, are going to riot en masse, and things are not going to get pretty, because when you've got no food, you're going to find those people that are sitting there telling you can't grow food, and the outcome is not going to be pretty. And things could get physically violent when people don't have food. I mean, this is the sort of thing, in defense of the people that are looking for unrestricted land, I am a big believer in that. I don't like HOAs. They act like God. I was in an HOA one time. It only takes once when you get some lady driving around going, you have a bucket of water there. It's going to draw mosquitoes. And if you don't get rid of it, we're going to fine you. And I'm like, wow, it was in the backyard. Who ratted me out? Yeah, this is not good when we have neighbors that can call the HOA. Oh, they've got a bucket of water in the backyard, rainwater in the backyard. You know, I mean, if this is what's going on now, and we have all these fusion networks and whatnot of people that are ratting each other out, just imagine how critical things are going to get when you can't grow your own food.
Yeah, I don't know why, but HOAs, Little League, and PTA just really seems to draw some of the most, you know, control-oriented people. I don't, you know, like, come on, you guys, this is Little League. I couldn't believe it. My son's playing back when he was a little boy doing that. And I was like, seriously? Like, the politics, it's crazy. So, yeah, an HOA is definitely a good thing to avoid. Also, the people that tend to live in communities that have HOAs are probably not your people. They really no. probably aren't. They're not going to have skills. They're going to be focused on a different set of values, which let them do that.
Those are the ones you find complaining on nextdoor.com. The ones that live in HOAs are the ones that are on Nextdoor complaining about every little thing. And some guy came to my door last night and knocked on it, and ran away. And some, I mean, this is all it is. It's like, wow, I don't even want to be on that. It's nuts. Here's the thing. And now we're, I don't want to get away from that, but I mean, HOAs, that's a thing that could interfere with your, matter of succession in getting where you need to be. I don't want to, I mean, we have the whole hour here. So, I want to talk about chickens for a second, cause we were talking about the opportunity to keep them, and you have like five excellent reasons to do that.
Yes. Well, first of all, the eggs, right? The eggs yep. are absolutely, you know, that's it. And I'd like to iterate again to folks, you know, we're not talking about a lot. You know, six laying hens will produce, a good laying hen produces, you know, about 250 eggs a year. They do need a little bit time off to molt their feathers. And if it's too hot or too cold, they have a hard time. So it's not every day, but 250 eggs from six laying hens, that's 1,500 eggs a year. So for one person, that's three egg omelets for breakfast every morning of the year, plus 33 dozen eggs to barter or trade. So huge amount of food product. And an egg is a whole complete food. It's basically a cell for a thing that's going to ultimately be a chicken. And it has all the nutrients, all the macronutrients, you know, the carbohydrate and the fat and the protein, it has all the micronutrients. So it's a whole complete food that will do you a world of good to be eating. So the eggs are obviously the number one reason. The number two reason is the fertility. So you're going to need to come up with compost and fertility. You need to find a way to cycle the minerals and nutrients in your system, your backyard or your small farm. And, you know, they poop. They're prolific poopers.
Yeah, they are. I stepped in that again? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know,
yeah, they're
right?
Poopers.
That's one of the things about, I do not recommend a free-range flock in the beginning just because they're very hard to manage. And they are not stupid. They want to be near you. So they will want to roost, like, right on your porch or right in your, you know, patio or wherever. And they do their most pooping at night. So it all drops down below where they're roosting. So I really recommend keeping them in a coop and a run type situation.
Right.
And underneath underneath their roost, you're just going to put some sawdust or chips or hay or, you know, shredded newspaper, whatever you got. And then you've got it right there. You've got your poop is your nitrogen source, and your grass or your hay is your carbon source. And right there, you've got a little compost pile going. So
I use straw in mine. And the funny thing about it is when I change that straw out like every other week in their pen. Mm-hmm. And when I do that, I literally throw the whole bundle of straw on the ground that I want them. They do the spreading. If you ever notice that, it's amazing how it gives them something to do and gives them exercise, because then you see them all just sitting there jumping on a on one little chunk of straw that's all together, and they separate it for you. So it's amazing watching them do it. But you're right about the fact that, you know, I give mine a flock party every morning with mealworms and scratch grains, and they all line up at the front of the coop and look at me as I'm approaching the coop, and they make a lot of noise, man, when they're hungry and they're missing their flock party. I've got them conditioned. But I have a hen, believe it or not, that likes to sit in the hen house. She sits in the nesting box all day long, and when I do the flock party, I have to take her out and put her down there so she eats, because she just sits in there all day long, and half the time I come up there and I lift her up, there's an egg sitting there like she's trying to hatch it. Is there something wrong with this hen?
No, she's what you call a broody hen. So if you have some fertilized, have some fertilized eggs, you put them underneath her, and then she will raise up those chicks for you. So it's actually a good quality if you're looking to continue to perpetuate your flock. And they do get, then you're not going to have fertilized eggs, because you need rooster for that.
But she seems to think that if she sits on it long enough, I mean, they're always warm when she gets it. And then my German Shepherd, I took two eggs out of the coop, put them on this little mat on my garden stand out in the garage, and my German Shepherd picked up one of the eggs in her mouth and took it to the other side of the yard and set it down in the in the mulch pile that I just spread around the house. Didn't break it. Just set it there. It's like, all right, you stinker, what are you doing? Grabbing my eggs and running off them. It's like, I don't get this. You know, it's funny how these animals behave. It's almost like she's jealous of the hens, and she knows they lay the eggs. And see, this is the other thing. We give her cooked eggs, you know, scrambled eggs in the morning a lot of times, because that's her protein fix. That's a great way to feed your animals.
It sure is. It sure is. Actually, I didn't even cook it. I would just give the dogs, raw eggs.
Oh, wow.
And I had, between the raw eggs and the dogs, dogs can understand property rights, and they get it that these chickens are laying eggs and that they're going to get a share. So it's sort of like, an investment in protecting these things. And they will figure that out and work with you on that. The other thing is I recommend a rabbitry, and so the entrails from butchering was also another big part of, and the skins from the rabbits was another big part of their diet. And I very rarely had to buy dog food. So, yeah, and you just put the egg down there. They know how to break it open and then lick it all up, and sometimes they eat the shell, sometimes they don't.
Well, the birds do it themselves, too. I've had the hens actually peck at it and open it up and eat the egg out of the shell, and I'm just like, oh man, I need to put some more eggshell in their meal. But the thing is now there's also a way to grow your own chicken feed, and we'll talk about that after the break here at the bottom of the hour in the Power Hour. Marjorie Wildcraft with us. If you've got questions, phone lines are open, 844-769-2944. Get in the queue. And we will be back after these messages and talk a little more about growing your own food for survival.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars, and when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or other like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, you know, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time, Dave Krieger with you here on the Power Hour, and it's Tuesday, March 14th, 2023. Marjorie Wildcraft is with us. She's the founder of the Grow Network, and we were talking about raising a flock. Now, I know that this is kind of like you could really can diversify, because I was talking about putting in a pond for ducks, and there is some arguendo. There's a difference between ducks and geese, because the idea of geese leaving all sorts of interesting patterns on your porches and walkways, as opposed to ducks. I'm not sure.
They'll all leave interesting patterns on your porch and your walkways.
But ducks also can, if you raise ducks from ducklings, they can attach themselves to you as well. Is that right?
Yeah, and even if you don't, I mean, ducks are also a very good alternative to chickens. In fact, if you're living further north, they may be a better alternative just because they handle the cold better, and they're going to be better layers for that climate. And definitely if you have water. Now, you do not need a pond for ducks. They would love it. And it's actually a great thing, because when they get in the pond, then they fertilize in the pond, and then you can use that pond water as a very for irrigation. It's just this wonderful, you know, kind of drip feed fertility program going on there. But you do not need a pond, but they do need to get their heads submerged in clean water every day. So you will have to have a source of clean water that's fairly, you know, like a bucket or something where they can, a little small trough where they can stick their head. It's partly they need to get their eyes wet, and they also like to Yeah, they also like their eggs. They like their eggs to be a little bit moist. So they'll, if you think about it, in the wild, they go out swimming and the bottom of their body is all wet. And then they're, when they sit on their eggs, they tend to have a little bit of moisture there. And all poultry turn their eggs over every day. They rotate it. That's what the hen is doing. I had a funny story one time. Geese, by the way, are not super good layers. They're only going to lay, depending on the breed, for part of the year. Sometimes there's some breeds will lay twice a year. And when you do get eggs from them, they're ginormous. I mean, they're like as big as 3 or 4 chicken eggs. But they really are not that good for egg production. They're good for meat, and they're really great for, like I used to call them little bitty cows. I had them in my orchard and for the geese and let them roam around. But let's get back to, you go on and on. For I love geese. They're very obnoxious, but they're not an animal for most people.
Yeah,
they
I
really are.
That.
They are kind of, they really are obnoxious, you know. And that, you know, that is another thing in general about homesteading is finding what works for you, you know. People go, what chicken breed? And I'm like, well, first of all, find out if you like chickens. And then second of all, you know, there'll be one that really calls to you. And you're like, wow, I just love this breed. And you're going to naturally love that and want to work with it. And the same thing, if you like really like ducks, you know, that might be the breed for you to work with. I found out early on I really couldn't stand goats. They're adorable. I love my friend who had goats, and I had goat cheese and goat milk. And occasionally we'd trade, and I'd have cabrito. But they were just too rambunctious and all over the place, and you have to have really good fencing. And I didn't want to be a goat keeper. So you know, there's things to learn as you get into this. By the
yeah,
way,
I
that was the
once.
Third thing. Of, yeah, that's right. I had goats once. There you go. One of the things about all of this is what a delight it is. You know, what an incredible delight it is to have. You're expanding your community into another species, basically. But they are intelligent, and they are capable, and they will teach you things. And, you know, when we first moved out and the kids were little and we were homesteading, we were living up in the barn while we were trying to build the house. We didn't have television. We had a little bit of electricity, but not much. And honestly, watching the chickens roost at night, you might laugh and say, it was hilarious. You know, they would get up in the tree, and then somebody would see a grasshopper. So that one would shoot down for it, but another one would go. Yeah, I mean, it was always this whole... It was just hilarious, the games they would play and the things that they would do. That's a whole nother real delightful aspect of this is getting back to some really, really simple pleasures that are not necessarily coming from a screen or programmed with God knows what messages from a, you know, a network.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway, ducks are fabulous. I love ducks, and I would stay away from geese as a beginner for sure. And chickens, of course, just because they're so ubiquitous, and they really are delightful. There is a thing about relationships between women and hens, especially. And in the old, you know, 100 years ago, taking care of the chickens and collecting the eggs every day was children's work. Historically, that's what the kids did. They would go out
yeah.
and you know. Check the nest and make sure the birds were taken care of. And it's, you know, it's good for children to have important, meaningful work. And there's no more meaningful work than providing the food supply for your family. So I that's another component of what's missing in our modern lifestyle. So
but Marjorie, you just said something about women and the flock. You want to elaborate on that? Because
yeah.
my wife likes to go out and talk to the hens. But I'm the
oh,
one
yeah.
that takes care of them. But how does that work?
I don't know what it is, but I do know, like, that broody hen you were talking about. Like, I could totally relate to when I was breastfeeding my daughter. I would get into kind of the same, or my son. I'd get into the same kind of stupor. Yes. Anyway, we're producing a lot of, we produce children and things. I don't know what it is, but women and hens do seem to have, and not to say, you know, of course, you know, the men and everybody else, it's really a fantastic creature to have in your life and to expand your family, basically, is by having a flock of chickens. So, yeah.
Well, I actually have two separate pens because I have hens who do not get along. and I want to trade out the troublemakers and use them as barter for the next door neighbor who wants chickens. I said, well, tell you what, I'll give you this pen, but I'm going to handpick the hens because I want certain hens out of my flock because they're troublemakers and they pick on the other ones. That is common, is it not, for putting flocks together?
That is true. If you're going to start adding new hens into an existing flock, you generally want to do that slowly, like let them see each other with some fencing between them for a while to where they can get to know it. And they definitely have a pecking order. And when you bring in a new, you know, bring in new hens, there is going to be a new, just like if you brought in a rooster, there's going to be some fights to establish who's going to be the dominant rooster. They are a flocking, and they do have a hierarchy. And you know,
that's
I also
where pecking order came from.
That's where pecking order came from. Absolutely.
That's right.
And I do agree, if you have really bad actors, get rid of them. There's a wonderful, wonderful grass-fed rancher in Texas, Betsy Ross, and she's a couple of decades older, so I'm not sure if she's still alive or not, but she used to have these unbelievably magnificent, you know, herd of bulls and cows and just big, beautiful animals on these grass-fed hundreds of acres that she was managing holistically with rotation and everything like that. And, you know, she was out there with them quite frequently. I said, golly, Betsy, that's the, you know, those are bulls, you know, right? You know, and bulls are bulls regardless of how nice they are, you know. And she said, yeah, she said, you know, that is one of our selection process. She says, if there's a difficult animal, you know, especially when you're dealing with cattle, they're too big. We get them, we move them out of the herd. I want very gentle, docile animals that I'm going to be working with. And the same is true for your chickens and your rabbits and everything else, or your dogs or your cats, right? Who wants a dog that's annoying, right? You know, so. And you have a choice of that and control of that. There are things that you can do to handle it in a good way, in a humane way, you know, in a proper way. But you don't
for
need
sure.
that in your life, right? There's a better situation for that animal somewhere else. So, yeah.
Now we were talking earlier about growing chicken feed, and we were talking about that at the break. And, you know, we give them scraps. They love mm-hmm. watermelon. My hens just go crazy. Because after I'm done cutting most of the melon out, I leave a little bit of it in there, and they pick that thing all the way down to the rind, and that's what I'm picking up is the rind out of the pen when I clean it up. But, you know, frozen grapes, do they work?
Yeah, chickens will eat almost everything. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. I want to, just for everybody starting with your first chickens, my advice is in the beginning, buy chicken feed. Because you've got so much else to learn, right? You've got to start getting in the habit of, like you said, Dave's way ahead of a lot of people right now. But you got to get in the habit of, you know, checking on them every day. You've just built new housing. There may be some problems with that, and maybe something got in and ate some of your chicken. I mean, you've got a lot to learn in the very beginning. Don't add to that by trying to figure out how to feed your chickens, because right now chicken feed is still fairly cheap. So, you know, go buy the 50-pound bag. People say, do you need organic? Is very, very expensive. And honestly, at this point in time, it's really mostly an expensive certification. So if you can find a non-GMO, non-soy chicken feed that's grown, you know, regionally in your area, which is very, very likely, chances are those farmers are growing in a good way. And there's a lot of farmers that just can't afford the hassle of the organic certification. And they are even growing better than organic. But, you know, because the organic certification years ago, once it went into the USDA, it got usurped by big industry. And it's, you know, it is better than conventional feed. Absolutely. Because you don't want GMO feed.
Well, and see, I got away. Yeah, they put a warning out about tractor supply feed because apparently it was lacking nutrients and hens were laying less. And so I switched and went to a different feed store and started buying Nutrina. And mm-hmm. they seem to be doing better because that producer's pride, they put all sorts of warnings out in my community not to buy from them because this stuff doesn't contain all the nutrients. It's just filler and they're not laying. So you got to be paying attention to the feed and the egg production and all that because, see, the old saying about eating you out of house and home, that's craziness. So I wanted to put that little warning out.
No, no, thank you. I appreciate that. I hadn't heard that, and I'm not surprised. You know, I'm not surprised. I used to love going to Tractor Supply, but it, you know, they're big. They're big. They're huge, right? And that just happens when organizations get big. So, by the way, when you buy that chicken feed, what I really recommend is get a steel, you know, one of those metal garbage cans with a tight-fitting lid to store it in, because, you know, rodents, raccoons, everything is going to want to eat that feed also. So make sure you have a good, sturdy container. You put that 50-pound bag in there, 100, you know, whatever it is you're getting. Now, getting to the point of where you can feed your chickens, you know, chickens will eat almost anything. It has astonished me. And then sometimes they get peculiar and they won't. But really, all your leftover scraps, I used to, and this might be a little bit hardcore for some people, but if you find some roadkill that's like beyond what anybody would eat, just put that thing in a bucket, not near the house, because it's going to stink to high heaven, and it will turn into maggots. And chickens love maggots.
Probably turning over right now at that thought.
I know. I know. There's other people that do things like, collect insects at night. You put a light out. You can do it with a little solar power thing. Put a light out over a bucket of water, and then what happens is the insects are attracted to that light, and when they hit the water, they can't get out. They'll basically, in the morning, you scoop up all the insects off the top of the bucket of water and give that to your chickens. There's also lots of ways to grow mealyworms and black soldier flies and other things. That's one of the things I'm looking at here next in the tropics is we have like an abundance of mangoes for a very short period of time. Nobody can really eat a lot of mangoes. Mangoes are so sweet. You really can't eat. So I'm looking at, well, how can we turn that into a protein source via some type of insects that we can then dry and keep as a high protein meal for poultry for the rest of the year?
That's ingenious.
Life is so incredibly abundant. It really is. And when you start opening up to what's possible, I think that's the other really big thing, is just open your mind and open your heart and go like, I really want to figure this out. And you know from your life experience in other arenas, when you really hold a question in your mind and you really are open to it, the universe will give you the answer. You know, the universe will help you out. It's really fun. You know, oh my God, I never thought of that. Like, oh wow, I could try. Well, let me try this. You know, it's like,
just got to pay attention. Just got to pay attention. Now the thing
let me just go back to the free chicken feed. When people sign up for the powerhourfood.com webinar, I give you through the email sequence, I'll give you access to a whole presentation that Justin Rhodes did on how to feed your chickens for free, 100%. He has so many more ideas on ways to generate chicken feed. So, again, don't make that your priority because you got so many else things to learn. But definitely, you know, sign up for the free webinar, grab those resources, put them on your hard drive, download them, make sure you've got it. And then, you know, when the time comes, come back to it.
There you go. And see, now we're all about solutions here at the Power Hour, which is why we have Marjorie on, because the food supply is being affected. You cannot be in denial and not understand that we are facing food shortages and rising food prices, and it's killing the budgets. People are deciding whether to pay mortgages. I've had people contact me of late because of the Clouded Titles book, which we have at the Power Mall now. And I had a guy call me yesterday and says, I haven't paid my mortgage since 2008. And I start laughing and I'm like, and he says, and the bank is now trying to foreclose. I mean, it took them that long. You see how screwed up the banking system is in this country? Well, you all heard the saying about how caca rolls downhill. Well, now it's starting to happen and people need to become more aware. And growing food is important. Having the right seeds is important. That's why we have White Harvest Seeds and Heaven's Harvest Seeds at the Power Mall. And if you have not purchased seeds, now's a good time to start doing it because we have the White Harvest Seeds back in stock. And these are all heirloom seeds, every single bit of it, which means you can take, dry them out, and grow them again. And Marjorie, you've got some tips on seed starting.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, Dave, I really recommend you go get some seeds right now, because I don't know if you remember in 2020, like, you couldn't buy seeds anywhere.
I bought two complete because they had a local auction here, and I bought two complete kits. And each one of these, they're like the display stands like you see in the store. And these are pages.
Oh, wow.
And they're non-hybrid. Mm-hmm. I bought two complete racks of them for $300. There are 2,000 packages of seeds. So, yeah, it's amazing how that works. But we have them at the Power Mall. I also have Heaven's Harvest and White Harvest seeds in my stash as well. The thing is that you need to get these things and stock up. Craig in Michigan, our third Michigander this morning. You're on the phone with Marjorie Wildcraft. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning to the both of you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I heard about giving raw eggs to dogs. Okay.
And?
Uh-huh.
And, I've got a book by a couple of veterinarians here. It says raw eggs. Avidin in raw egg whites can decrease biotin absorption and cause skin and coat problems.
There is that issue that there is sometimes if you overeat it, there's. But honestly, I fed my dogs raw eggs, and honestly, a lot of show producers for dog shows feed their dogs raw eggs, actually to increase a shiny coat and hair and growth production. So, the biotin, if that's all you're feeding them, that could be a problem. But, of course you're going to be feeding them other things. So it's sort of like people talk about rabbit poisoning, right? You've heard about rabbit poisoning. And that's when you're eating rabbits that are only in the wild that have no fat on them. Right.
Right.
There's always another part of that.
Right. I just wanted to bring that up.
Well, we appreciate that.
Thank you, Craig.
Nice to know, Craig, what the veterans are saying, veterinarians are saying.
Dave, I wanted to bring up another, I watch a lot, and I'm like, what is going to spark this thing? So we're having rioting, and rioting occurs because the food prices get too high. Now, the superficial reason might be because of this politician screwed that person, or this white guy shot this black guy or something, right? That's the superficial. The underlying reason of any type of rioting, real rioting, not the rioting that's paid for by certain people that try to create dissent, but real rioting, when people really are upset, is because the price of food gets too high. That's what is the fundamental basic reason. And so it is occurring all over the rest of the world. And now, in places you'd expect, of course, Sri Lanka, Brazil. But it's starting to happen in France now, Netherlands,
yep.
and the UK.
Belgium. Yep.
In Belgium. In the UK, they said, look, produce is so scarce now that you can only go to one. When you go to a store, you're only allowed a maximum limit of two tomatoes and two cucumbers.
Oh, my.
And they're looking at implementing some kind of digital ID thing to make sure that you don't go from one store to another to buy up your quota of tomatoes at different stores.
This is not good.
But why? And I'm like, well, the United States is uniquely positioned, and I would say Canada and Mexico and most of the Americas is positioned to do fairly well, although it is going to be difficult. And I'm like, what would be the trigger point here? And I think I found it is we have almost 42 million Americans on the SNAP program, which is basically the food stamps. And during 2020, they said, hey, we know there's a pandemic or a plandemic. And we know we're going to increase the SNAP payments by 15%. Well, that just expired this month. And so this month, all of those people, those 42 million people that had gotten, that 15% increase they gave them in 2020, by the way, has completely been eaten up by inflation now, right? So, and now they're cutting the payment. They're basically going to be cutting those payments back. And we're going to have a lot of people that are going to be dropping off of the making it line, right? And I believe we are going to start seeing a lot more rioting and dissent and problems, violence breaking out in this country, within the next few weeks, if not the next few months, just because people are stretched so thin. The price of food is increasing. They've just cut in the SNAP payments, right? Like, if you read the survival genre.
There's more to this than that. Marjorie,
yeah,
we got all these illegal immigrants coming into this country. How are they going to get fed?
Yeah, exactly, right? Where are they going to get that from? The survival genre story is where the collapse, it almost always starts in Atlanta when the SNAP payments don't work, right? So, you know, don't underestimate the potential problems that can come when the lowest echelons, the lowest economic echelons of our community aren't making it. That's when we start getting into real difficulty. And that you know, so we got this banking collapse. We've got this whole Ohio. How toxic now is Ohio, Pennsylvania, and upper state New York and Ontario issue? You know, then they're throwing out all these weather things with the Northeast. And it's all happening, and you really do need to secure your food supply.
Yep, and in order to do that, you know, go to the Power Mall and get your heirloom seeds from White Harvest or Heaven's Harvest. We have them. Marjorie Wildcraft, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to obviously have to have you back again very, very soon to continue this conversation because people got to eat. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. We're out of time for today. We'll be back tomorrow for our Hump Day edition here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America, what's left of it.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall here to tell you about a North American urban spice product called Chaga Max. This product is considered SOD or superoxide dismutase. This is an enzyme found in all living cells. SOD helps break down potentially harmful oxygen molecules in cells. Chaga Max is fortified with the powers of wild oregano and wild birch bark. Get your Chaga Max by calling 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the OregaResp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.